God, what do I even say? Hi, I'm Cameron. Is that what I say?
Yeah, that's usually what you say.
Okay, cool. God. Hi, I'm Cameron.
And I'm Emily.
I've never read Twilight before.
And I've read the books too many times to count. But now we're reading them together.
Welcome to Unbitten, a journey through the Twilight Saga. I forgot that there for a little bit.
That's crazy. You know, it's funny that our intro is that you've never read Twilight before, and I'm just thinking, like, we're five we're chapters. On the last. Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
We're here. We're reading two chapters today.
Yep.
We're almost at the end of this book.
Yeah, there's three chapters after this, right?
Yep.
Next episode is going to be our last episode of the books.
Yeah. And then we just have
God.
Two movie episodes left.
Oh, freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom, and also I finally get to watch those stupid movies.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I'm terrified, honestly.
Dude, I'm going to have to fucking drive to Vermont to watch these movies with you.
Please do. Update, guys. I now live in another state. I live in Vermont.
Everyone go stalk her. Here's her exact address.
Me. No. Wait. Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Back it up. But yeah, I moved. I'm in a new location.
Honestly, an idyllic
in a new direction.
Writer retreat looking ass location.
I know. Liv and you keep being like, oh, I wish I could just be here and write all the time. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's so cool that you guys wish you could do that. I'm here and I have no desire to write anything.
Well, you could read some books. Same energy.
I'd be reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a job.
You did?
Employed again.
What?
Yeah, I did. I forgot.
That's news to me. Last time I talked to you was something unemployed, like yesterday. Yeah,
that is true. But I had a job offer sort of in the air and I accepted it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be working at a country club. I had to buy khakis today.
Oh, my
horrible.
God. Of course you did. The vibes are interesting, but you know, money.
The vibes are khakis.
Yeah.
It happens.
Are the vibes people who have like a button down and then have their sweater over their shoulders like tied in a knot?
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a golf club. It's a golf club.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. I'm gonna be doing some very interesting. Yeah, I'll be. I'm gonna have to learn how golf works. That's right. The main thing that I'm worried about is that people are gonna
ask you
about
golf things.
Golf,
yeah,
and I'm not even. They're just gonna like I'm gonna be bartending or serving, and they're gonna be like
happened?
Blah blah blah. I'll be like yeah, or they'll even be like blah blah blah, and I did this on this hole, and I'm like.
And you're going to be like, oh, my God, congrats. And then they're like, no, that's a bad thing.
No, that was ass.
I was complaining.
Like, oh, my bad slime. Anyway, it's going to be really interesting.
I can't wait for the alter ego that happens, like, to you. Like, your work persona
you
that evolves out of this.
Know me so well. Because I've already been thinking about who I'm going to become because of this. Because... you know this about me. No matter, like, wherever I am, whoever I am around, I am very, like...
You blend into your surroundings. You're a chameleon.
Chameleon, yes. So we're going to see how it goes. It's going to be fun. We'll see who am I going to become. I'm very scared.
I really can't wait. That's very fun.
Yeah.
Very
but yeah, let's get into this first chapter, unless you have anything important you need to tell the people of the world.
No. I don't have anything important to say pretty much ever. So,
bro, you're kind of spitting.
That's why I started a podcast.
Yeah. No, exactly. I don't have anything worthwhile to talk about. So I'm going to do a podcast for 5 calendar years. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. Seems like a plan.
Yeah.
Like, great idea.
I saw this TikTok that was like, this is my impression of me. Yap, 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 yap. Yap, 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 yap. Yap, 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 yap. And then interluded moments of, ah, ah, ah. And then back to yap, 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 yap.
So you.
Yap, 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 yap. I was like, okay, that's me.
Wow. Literally a perfect impression of you. Are you sure you didn't make that TikTok?
I wish I did. It's like she went in my brain.
Honestly, whenever I think of you and TikTok, I do just think of that one TikTok that you made of cleaning your diva cup.
Oh, stop.
To the Ratatouille music.
Okay, do you guys remember that TikTok audio that the Shuan and Pyongyang when you don't know me? Yeah, like the making fun of the Ratatouille song. Anyway, so I recorded a video of me boiling my diva cup with to that music. That
audio, yeah. Because it's like, yeah, everyone like icon. Cooking stuff, but you're like, here I am stirring my little pot that's boiling, and you look inside and it's a diva cup.
Yeah. Hey, gotta keep it clean.
You do. That's good hygiene.
You ever think about, I thought about this, which is that, like, you finish doing that. Like, what if you try to just put it right up in there right after?
Oh, my God.
It's, like, still boiling hot.
Oh, my God. That like, made me cringe, like, physically.
Good. That's what I'm getting at. Awesome. You love to see it. I love to make my friends upset. Anyway, let's read these chapters.
What if you're a cold, cold, cold vampire and you do that just to feel alive?
I think Bella could do it at some point.
I think she should.
I think so, too. All right, chapter 35, deadline.
Yep. Her final term paper is due, and she hasn't finished it, so she's got a deadline.
Yeah, like, you're graduating. You need to do this to graduate, and she still hasn't done it. Yeah. She has maybe an outline.
The nightmares that I have about that still.
Oh, my God, stop, because I'll wait. I mean, mine's more recent than yours, but still, like...
Yeah, it'll follow you forever. I'll
be waking up in fear.
I'm 31. I still do be waking up like, I didn't go to any of the English classes, and now the final paper is due, and I don't know what I'm supposed to read it and write it on.
Right. Like, why do I have, like, terrifying nightmares about not having any of my work done or not studying for any of my exams? Mm-hmm. Or, like, ooh, doing, like, high school theater, and I get put on stage, and I don't know any of my lines.
Horrible.
That's a really good one that comes up all the time.
Mine's always an English paper, which... I don't know.
That's so specific.
Yeah, it's always like, I haven't read the book. I don't even know what book I was supposed to read. And I didn't go to any of the classes. I thought I dropped the class, but apparently I didn't. It's some variations of
that. Oh, my God.
That.
Wait, no, I'll have that where I'm like, I thought I dropped the class. Or I've been going to so little of these classes, but I didn't drop it. And suddenly, like, I need this class to graduate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about.
It's
ridiculous because I also, like, I didn't take English courses in university. Like, the last real English course I took was grade 12. Well, I guess I took that Harry Potter English course that one time, but that was like...
Yeah, but that doesn't really count.
It doesn't count at all. It was a little baby course. Fergus, no, I wish you would have not... Okay.
What do you do?
Well, I still had my plate of Popeye's chicken
No, you
here,
did not.
And he was like, chicken for me? Chicken for Kitty Cat?
Did he have some?
He was picking at a bone. Like,
oh, good.
You know.
Dude, oh, my cat's such a menace. I don't know. I think it's because I've just been cooking more since I've been here anyway. Mm. But Bean has been, like, actually the worst in terms of food. She likes to sit on, like, the little kitchen table to look outside and play at the birds. But then she'll also be sitting up there. She'll jump up there so fucking fast when I have a plate of something I would like to eat. I will turn away to get a glass of water, and I will turn back, and she is dragging away an entire piece of chicken. And I'm like, who are you? You don't even appreciate the herb and garlic marinade on that thing. Like, stop.
It reminds me of finding half a burger patty, like, across the house one time.
Right. It's like, feral. Must have been the wind.
Yeah, must have been. The wind that specifically knocked it under the dresser.
Right. Oh, my God. That's crazy. How did he even get there? What a menace.
Yeah. It wasn't Fergus. It was a different cat, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Freak.
Bella takes Edward's Volvo, and she goes to meet Jay Jenks.
It does happen.
Yeah.
She wears a hot outfit,
She does
by
wear
the way,
a hot outfit.
Which everyone's like, oh, my God.
And she's like, damn. Finally, people are looking at me the way they always looked at Edward. Kind of love this. This is crazy. She also warms her hands by the fire to, like, make her hands feel at least a little bit more human temperature.
Right.
And contemplates what if she stuck her hand in to feel what the burn felt like. Girl, what?
My intrusive thought.
Right?
FR.
That's so intrusive thought. Like,
oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, she thinks that her entire family is going to fucking die. any day now.
Right.
And she's like,
I might as well feel this once.
Yeah, what if I just burned my hand? What if I just ended it all right here and jumped into the fire? Yeah. Oh, Jay is here. Hi, Jay.
Yeah. Also, backtracking a little bit, like, Edward's, like, definitely sus at what she's doing, but he's purposefully not asking, and she's hoping that he sort of inferred that she needed to do something that he couldn't know about because of the whole Aro thing.
I think that's likely correct. Edward is always putting
he's
together
clever
the pieces.
Sometimes.
Yeah. It's like...
He's pretty good at that.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason, because there's no way he would normally be like, you have to tell me everything. And now he's like, no. It's chill. It's because
exactly. Yeah. He's usually so controlling that we're like, he has to know something if he's not being controlling, which, you know, let me know if that's concerning. It is.
It is.
But anyway.
The other thing is that she also suspects that Alice's whole reason of sending her to the sketchy area is so that Bella knows to
do
illegal things. And I just sort of was like, but hang on a second. Jay immediately is like, oh, you're a Cullen. Why didn't you come to my, like, fancy office? That's where Jasper usually meets me. And I'm like, so all she'd have to do is say, I'm related to Jasper, or I got this from Alice, like, I'm a Cullen. And then he'd be like, oh, great, do you need new papers? Like, I feel like it would immediately be like, okay, great, here's what I usually do.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it was still clever. I think it was worthwhile.
I think it's fun.
Just so that she got a direction to go in.
Yeah. But it just made me
so
realize,
she knew,
like,
at least that it would be kind of sketchy. But I see what you mean.
Yeah, it made me realize, just because the way he was instantly like, oh my god, no, you're a Cullen. Like, please meet me at my good office. Like, I can't believe you went there. That I'm like, he would have bent over backwards the second he realized.
Yeah.
But it did help
her.
She
had to hang out with what's his
Max.
Name? Max?
Yeah. That made everything worth it. That was...
Yeah, that man with his New York accent in the middle of Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
The other thing, as they're, like, sitting down and he's like, oh, like, come chat with me for a second. Like, I know you have to leave, but, like, just have a couple things to clear up. He asks if she is either the sister of Jasper's wife or married to his brother, because she did just say, I'm his sister-in-law. And she says, married to his brother. And I'm just like, technically, isn't it both? Because they're all posing as, like, siblings, but not related siblings. And I'm like,
sort of
true. How do you decide which one is the brother or not this, like, or not the brother, or who's the sister? Like,
right. Well, to be fair, Bella is not at this point posing as also a sister.
It's true.
So right now she's safe.
Right now
but
she,
like,
is safe.
If you gave it like 10 years, maybe that would be happening.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
I can't believe they do that.
It's weird.
We all just like get over that, but it's like,
well,
they're all pretending to be like faux siblings while also kissing.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, like, I'm married into this family, so of course I am married to Jasper's brother. Like, that does make sense.
Right.
But in the long haul of things, the usual line is that Jasper and Rosalie are true siblings that, like, were actually related to each other and adopted together. And then, like, I don't know what the others are, but in that case, obviously, I don't know. It just all sounds weird.
Yeah.
She's going to be in the lie of we were all adopted.
Yeah. Also, we bring it up every two episodes, but Carlisle cannot be their father. I don't care. Either age him to look like he does in the movie canonically in the books, or just, like, have them be some weird freaks. Him, like, looking 23 and having had adopted all of them is fucking insane.
It's fucking crazy. You are 24. Whatever.
Imagine.
You have now 5 teenage children.
Hey, guys. It's just me. I have 5 teenage children.
And I work at the country club.
They're all kissing, by the way.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
They're all kissing, and we have to have very strict bedtime rules. There's child locks on everything.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I work at the country club. Absolutely. Insane.
So
what else? What happens?
Well, Jay asks if she's kidnapping the child.
Yeah.
He's just like, can I just have some peace of mind? can I know that you're not kidnapping this child, please? And she's like, right. Oh my God, no.
Did we talk about this?
We did. Last time or no? We did, because okay. He was being like really sketchy and nervous and sweating a lot.
Yeah, we were like, is it just he's scared of her or does he think there's something else weird going on? So he's I'm glad for we sure. sort of sussed that out, or I sort of guessed, I guess. You knew.
He's for sure afraid of Jasper, though, because the way he's like,
oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, I would love for you to be my contact for any other future Cullen needs. Please call me. And she's like, I get it, though.
I would much rather have like a hot chick to talk to than Edward Scissorhands, if I'm being honest.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't need him to hear him talk about his battle scars for the 17th time.
I don't
you know
need
what I mean?
To hear about his freak piss kink. Like, I'm good.
Actually true. Why does he keep bringing it up in every conversation? It's so
like,
weird.
Like,
anyway.
I told him I'm not into it, but he keeps trying to bring it up again.
He keeps trying to bring it up again. For a second, I was like, is Jay Jinks gonna, like, ask more about, like, what the Cullens are?
Right.
I thought he was good. Like, for a second, a part of me was like, he's gonna ask to be one. It's like, Jay Jinks Vampire Extraordinaire would be actually really funny.
Big slay.
Big slay. But I do like that it mentions that he's known Jasper for 20 years, mm-hmm. and his predecessor knew him for 15 years before then.
Yeah.
And he says that he hasn't changed, sort of with the outward sounding that, like, personality-wise, he's always been cold.
Yes.
But it's also very obviously the real meaning, and both of them know it,
yep.
is that he physically looks the same and has not changed for 35 years.
What do you think is in his head about that? You know, like, I mean, I guess it goes back to, in some way, Bella being like, what is Edward? What are you? And he's like, say it out loud. But
who are you?
Yeah. I'm not sorry.
Yeah. So I think to a level, it's sort of like, I think what you have to just imagine is that in universe, people who are sort of on this side of sort of the sketchy business, you know, you get a lot of weirdos, you get a lot of people doing creepy shit,
sure
like
do.
Maybe morally gray stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he sort of asks, is like, please don't be kidnapping a child. Uh-huh, like, uh-huh. It seems like clearly he's had to, like, sort of deal with that before. So I think that in universe, this is just a thing where people in his profession deal with all of this, but then they also deal with people like the Cullens. And maybe, you know, like, for Jay Jinks, Jasper is the only one of this kind that he's ever met.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows if he has ties to other people, yeah. but it's sort of like that. So not totally like it just comes with the job sort of mm-hmm. thing, but it's like you see a lot of weird people. This in universe, this is just another one of that type of weird people.
And it's
people
not your job to ask questions. You just got to take their
Correct.
Money and do your job well.
Right. And you could have some sort of ideas about it.
Yeah.
And with like vampires being obviously like well-known media-ish, or at least like searchable media.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know if it's well
known. You
can
go in your favorite search
engine
and find
out. You can go in your favorite search engine and find out. Do a quick little Bing search. That's my favorite search engine, by the way.
Oh, mine's Yahoo.
Okay, loser. What? That's like two syllables. Just say Bing. Anyway, why are you laughing? I'm being dead serious right now.
Sorry. I shouldn't have insulted your loyalty to Bing.
Thank you.
But I also...
Anyway.
I think what's interesting from his perspective is the fact that he has actually been around to see Jasper not age in all that time and
right.
witness it firsthand, which is something Bella really didn't perceive in any way. She's like, I can't...
That's true.
It's definitely
sort of what
weirder.
I was... My finished thought was that if it's easily searchable, he could obviously have some idea of what they might be.
Yeah.
But of course, he has no way to confirm it. And again, it's not his business. So whatever.
Not my business. Just tell me if you're kidnapping or not. Okay, you're not? Great.
Yep. You're not? Great. Sounds good.
Yeah. She just says that it's a backup plan in case something happens. And he's like, are you expecting something to happen? And then he's like embarrassed for asking. He's like, I'm sorry. Not my business.
Yeah. As you should know, JJ, you've been doing this for 20 years.
Come on,
man.
So,
come on, man.
Yeah. And she assures him further by saying that, yes, you can tell Mr. Jasper if he comes around the full details of this transaction. Yes, you can include the fake names. It's fine. Full transparency here.
Yep.
Yeah, so she gets home. Most of the cars are gone, including her sick new Ferrari, because the vamps are out hunting again. And Garrett and Kate are sitting around debating the nutritional value of animal blood.
Yeah.
Because he tried it.
They are flirting in a way that only the two of them can.
Correct.
It's great. I love to see it. I love when background characters get together. I love, like, it's fun when side characters get together and you, like, see it. But I really love when, like, background characters. You know what I mean? There's a difference between, like, a side character. Like, for example, if we were to see Alice and Jasper's romance blossom, fall still in Bella's perspective. But, like, it's so, like, a step further.
Background characters are, like, we get their names. Yeah, we get their names mentioned here and there. We don't know really anything else about them.
And then it's like, ooh, they're spending more time together. Ooh, that's so cute. Yeah. Although, whenever I see that, I'm always like, one of them's dying. So, I don't have a lot of faith in them right now. And who's going to live? That's one of my predictions. I think one of them has to die because I never trust, like, that always happens. I feel like with these sort of things, I love seeing these background characters get together, but I also feel like whenever that happens, when it's a romance that's not super important to the side or main characters, it is one that is going to be instantly destroyed by the upcoming battles.
It's just fodder.
Maybe I'm
for...
just jaded from reading way too many, like, fantasy, like, books with big battle scenes where people die all the
time. It'll make you, like, come to really like someone in, like, the final hour just so you can kill off a non-main character and make it still hit.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Well.
And I appreciate that they do that so that I don't have to have main characters die, but, you know.
Yeah.
Still.
Bella takes the opportunity to go into Alice and Jasper's room, which no one has been in since they left, and she takes enough cash that amounts to twice the average American household income, just stashed around their room. Yearly. Yeah.
Just a casual thing they have lying around. I understand, in theory, the amount of wealth that the Cullens have, but then they say stuff like this, and I am once again bombarded with the reality that they just have so much fucking money.
She finds a little cute purse backpack that'll fit Renesmee, and she puts all the cash into it and the fake IDs. And then she very intently thinks about writing down her advice for where they should go, so that way Alice can see Bella's future of writing this down.
Right. I love that.
Yeah. And then she puts Rio de Janeiro, and I'm like, are we not done with this place yet?
Dude, I know. It's like, free me from this fucking house. Like, actually.
I forgot that she put that note. Like, I was like, what? Are we still not done with Brazil?
Like, let us out of Brazil.
It's always,
like, respectfully, Rio. To all our Brazilian listeners.
Respectfully.
Why are we still in
why
Rio?
Why are we obsessed with Rio right now? We've had essentially three locations. And it's Italy,
right?
Fucking the Pacific Northwest and Rio. Mm-hmm.
Like, why are there only three locations in the world? Oh, secret fourth, Florida.
Oh, right, you're right. She did go to Arizona once.
Only mentioned that. We did go to Arizona once, but that was like a little detour.
But they're obsessed with Rio in a way that is not the same.
Right. It's like Italy, the place where all the vampires are from.
Yeah.
Forks and the Pacific, like, Northwest. This is
the set piece
where our action takes place. Rio, some random fucking place that we're just like, Rio, yum, yum, yum.
It's like, exotic.
Stephanie went there one time.
Yeah, you can tell.
For vacation. She's like, let me base everything there.
I just...
Also, for the sake of... Like, for the sake of keeping her child and Jacob hidden, why would you send them to a place that you've been before?
Well, on one hand, it's a really, really big city.
True.
And I would argue that the whole idea of them visiting there was a surprise to Bella the whole time. So, I don't know.
That's true. Fair enough. But still,
I feel like
it makes me laugh.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan is there specifically. I think Bella just doesn't know the names of any other cities.
I think so.
Because, like, she's like, oh, they're in South America already, so maybe that'll be easier. And I'm like, do you know other places in South America?
No, she knows only one place in South America. One singular place.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, if anything, like, Sao Paulo's, like, a bigger city. I think it's got, like, 12 million people or something. Like, go there.
Right.
I don't know.
I think she just doesn't know any other places.
Oh, absolutely not. She think
she failed geography.
Yeah.
She was too busy fucking vampire. What can you say? It happens.
You know, valid.
Happens with the best
it
of
sure
us.
It sure does. We've all been there. What happens next?
They just wait.
Oh, yeah. They just wait in the field.
It's essentially just field it waiting is, until finally it sticks.
It is man standing emoji.
Oh, absolutely. I love that she actively mentions that they do a repeat of the camping night.
I know. It's deja vu.
Oh my god. Because it's so iconically hilarious to us as people, especially watching the movie.
Right, it's the cuck
tent.
Like,
it's funny in the book, but, like, the cuck tent in the movie, oh my god, I can't, I cannot unimagine the cuck tent.
It is, like, the wildest dreams so of, like, funny. Fan fiction. But it was the real thing that really happened. Like,
but, like, not even like,
well, like yes, no one no had to. Sex. So obviously it's not full fan fiction, but usually, like, right. The bizarre, like, hoops you have to jump through to be like, but what if all three of them had to stay in a tent together is so right. Like fan
what
fiction
if all
coded.
Three of us, oh no, we're at the campsite and there's only one tent.
Right.
Like, we're at the inn and there's only one bed.
Right.
Like,
uh-huh.
It's the energy, and there's three of them. But then, yeah, it would be full fan fiction if they all had sex.
It would.
It would.
Honestly, even it would be full fan fiction if Edward watched the other two have sex. Still cuck. Still
oh
cuck.
My
ten.
God.
Full
oh
on
God,
cuck ten.
Full cuck ten. It's like, sorry, Edward, you can't join in. It's too
it's
cold.
It's too cold. But I can
we
keep
have
her
to
warm.
Keep her body heat up.
I'm sure that's out Jesus there. Christ. I'm sure that's out there.
Absolutely. Link me that post.
Somebody find us versions of the cuck tent fan fiction where sex actually happens. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Just send it straight to my DMs. Thanks.
Okay. So anyway, the snow happens and squad begins to squad up.
Yeah, the cuck tent is better because Bella's not cold and also Renesmee's there. So it's like, okay, there's no cuckage anymore. Ugh. Everyone's just where it should be.
Yeah, she's like,
supposedly.
Yay.
Everything's as it should be. Jacob is with his child bride. Yeah. Bella's with her husband. All is well, I guess, or
all
whatever.
All is well. I get to call Jacob my son-in-law someday. That's what I wanted.
Thank God.
Yeah.
What I've always wanted.
Yep. So the snow comes the night before New Year's Eve. So this is taking place on December 30th.
Wow.
Yeah. I did some calendar looking.
Or is it? No. Wait. The night before New Year's Eve? So is that then the 31st?
Oh, maybe it is happening.
If it comes the night,
it does
before,
say the night before,
then it's the 31st.
Yeah.
You're bad at calendars. I win.
You win.
I win. She also dresses up Renesmee all cute, and it's very much a purposeful thing of being like, I'm giving you this outfit that will make you, like, you'll be okay if you have to go run through multiple states or countries with
on the back of a wolf,
like on the back of a giant wolf. And she has, like, her little backpack with all of the
money
legal documents and the money and everything. But it's almost like it also gives the energy of she's, like, dressing up a little, like, American girl.
Right, yeah.
Doll.
Like, she's very cutesy, overly feminine, frilly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, it's, like, runaway Barbie with her, like, her cute little pink outfit and her backpack of
illegal documents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Bella does tell Renesmee that she will have to run when Bella tells her to. And she's like, Mama, no. Why? No. And she's like, girl, trust me. You gotta trust me. Jacob will go with you. Do it.
Yeah. It's like the moment in... It's like the moment in Two Towers where she goes, "Where's Mama?" And she goes, "Hush." Where Renesmee's like, "What's going on?" And Bella's like, "Shut the fuck up. Don't worry about it."
Oh my God. King Thaddeus' actor died. Don't know about
that. That is very sad. Side note. That is actually very, very sad.
Yeah. I was.
Cameron is not happy.
I was on Tumblr and I kept seeing so many people reblogging like Lord of the Rings gifts and stuff. And I was like, hell yeah. Like, I just watched this too. Like, we're all in this.
Wow. A resurgence.
Yeah. And then I like read one and I was like, oh fuck. He died though.
Yeah. It's like, why are these all featuring Thaddeus? Yeah. That's so interesting. I guess y'all just really like, yeah, he's a great side character. We love that guy.
We do love that guy. Reads
into it a little bit more. Hold on. Wait.
Oh, hold on. Oh, we are not having a silly and goofy time. Got it.
Rest in peace to him. You will always be Theoden King.
You will.
I loved the post that like used the quote of his death.
Yeah.
Like the Theoden's death.
Yeah.
I thought that was poetic. For people who like knew him as like Theoden. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But that part like that passes the Bechdel test in the Two Towers. This is that moment.
Where's Mama? Hush.
Hush.
Okay, good job.
All right. Chapter 36? Or is there anything
The
else?
The only thing else is that Bella puts on Aro's giant diamond necklace that was a wedding gift to be like, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
We're friends still, right? Remember you gave me a little gift?
Yeah.
And then
I'm so excited for a fatal strike to be aimed at Bella and she deflects it with a giant fucking necklace. Yeah, it's gonna be so poetic.
Everyone is assembled. Like, it's truly like Avengers Assemble. They're on the field.
Yeah, this is Endgame when everyone starts coming through the portals.
We're in the Endgame now.
Yep, we really are. Chapter 36 is called Bloodlust.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, because Bella's pissed the whole time.
I know, which I love.
Bella is unhappy.
The Volturi arrive with a pageantry and a kind of beauty in their rigid formation. They flow in perfect synchronicity from the trees as a dark shape.
I love when Stephanie Meyer tries really hard to be poetic when none of the rest of her books are poetic. Yeah. And by love, I mean
Every once in a while, she's like, what have I tried?
Yeah, and I mean, there are times where I've actually complimented when she does it. But this, like, I don't know what it is about this. Maybe it's that it marks the beginning of a chapter. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just my fucking mood today. But it's like reading this, I was scoffing. I was like, okay, you're not all that. It's your fucking gay little vampires walking into a clearing. Like,
Yeah, they float in almost like they're in a march.
They're all holding hands. Like, tell me they're not gay. Right. Like, hello? Anyway,
they open, but it's not as elegant as a flower. It's too angular, so it's more like a fan. And I'm like, okay, why mention the flower at all?
It's like, why am I imagining, like, marching band?
Right.
Why am I imagining marching band formations right
They've got,
now?
Like, a little drummer boy. It's very cute.
Oh, my God. Jane's the drummer boy. And she's very angry that she had to be the drummer boy. She didn't want to be the drummer boy this time, but they're like, you just like, you're the best at it. And she's like, oh, fine.
Her and Alec actually drew straws and she got the short one this time.
So. Right. Sometimes Alec has to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've all got gray cloaks, but the gray gets darker to black as we get to the highest ranking vampires in the squad. Garrett, hilarious. He's just like mutters, the redcoats are coming, the redcoats are coming.
What a little freak who was around when the redcoats came, probably.
Stefan and Vladimir are like, they brought them all. They're here. The wives are here. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, they're like, it's well we didn't try Volterra, which is like, good thing we didn't try to attack their base. We can just attack them while they're all at the open. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Bella counts and they've got 32 people compared to the Cullens 19. And she's like, fuck, we're outnumbered. But then more vampires come.
Bro.
40 more.
Yeah. I am always astonished with people's ability in books to guesstimate the amount of people in a space.
Yeah.
Because I will have like 50 to 100 people in a space. I'll be like, well, that's probably like 30 people here.
Yep.
I'm so bad at it. And I know that it's for narrative purpose, but like for her to be like eye level / probably shorter than a lot of them and to see them all walk in and be like, yeah, that's probably like 40 people. How do you know?
Right.
How do you know that's like 40 people?
Like, I could accept that she can count and see very easily because she's a vampire, but they're all like layered together. Like, I don't know how, whatever. Yeah, we agree.
Yeah.
But anyway, 40 more vampires come as like witnesses, but also sort of an angry mob that's like ready for justice. Like, they look ready for a fight. Yeah. They're like, let's fucking destroy these. They're going
to tie them to stakes and burn them like witches.
Exactly.
Yay!
Irina's there. And she's looking fucking horrified. She's like, Tanya is at the front of this? But Tanya and me, we agree. Mortal vampire babies, bad. Why is she here? Oh, no.
Right. Bro is lost.
Edward.
Unfortunate.
Is obviously reading minds of everything that's going on right now. And he says that Alistair was right. It's about destroying and acquiring. So they've come with the intent that if the crime is proved to be false, they're going to come up with something else. They're going to find something to take offense because this is the final stand. So they could defend against these charges, but that would take making them actually stop and like stopping and listening. But they already have no intention of stopping. So that's too bad. Except then wolves come out and they do stop. He says that and then it's like all the wolves start coming out and then they stop.
And they're like, oop. And I oop.
There's 16 wolves now. Bella thought there would be 10. So
there are more wolves that are turning.
More little wolf babies.
Lots of young, like younger than Seth probably, which is terrifying. I know. Because Seth is already ickle baby boy.
Exactly. They've probably got some 12-year-olds.
Oh, God. Dude, we got child brides. We got child soldiers. We've got the whole thing going.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about, there's literally been a surge in vampires in the area. Like, of course this happened. Yeah. Of course. There's Cullens have, I don't know, 17 or something vampires.
Yeah, didn't they, like, say eventually there were, like, 20-something? Originally there were, like, 20-something. Yeah. Some people left or something. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, I think they have more as well. Like, don't they? The Cullens technically have more, but there's some that will refuse to fight.
Yeah, that's it. So they have. That's what it is. It's the number of people that are here to witness, but the number who will actually fight is lower.
Mm-hmm.
We see Marcus and Caius are both touching their Lord and Savior Aro, having a little thought communication.
He's so pooky.
Situation. There's another woman behind Aro.
He's so pooky already. I'm sorry. I can't stop thinking about Michael Sheen.
Good. You shouldn't. Very important that he plays Aro. Would not be the same without him.
Correct. Go on.
There's another woman also touching Aro, and they figure that this must be the shield that they were warned about, named Renata, who we've just learned exists in this book.
For the sake of this book, I guess. Yep.
Not mentioned in New Moon at all, when he probably would have also had a shield, but sure.
Yep.
Bella's getting big fight me energy. She starts like snarling and she's like, I want to rip my teeth into them and tear them into pieces and watch them burn. And
it's like, okay, dramatic much.
Yeah, she wants to dance around like the burning fires of their bodies. So.
Yeah, she like straight up mentions that. Oh my God.
She's really feeling the feral energy. So. As the pause goes on for an extended period of time, Edward's breath starts speeding up, and Carlisle's like, what is it, Edward? And I just have to say, he doesn't need to breathe. His heart doesn't beat. He cannot get physical body responses of
Why did I not
anxiety. Like, it doesn't make any sense for breath to pick up as an anxiety response, because you don't do the things.
Yeah, it's so interesting the way that Stephanie Meyer breaks her own rules every 2 seconds. Yep. She's constantly like, they don't need to breathe. And then he's like, his breath sped up. And it's like, what breath?
Why?
You don't need that shit.
Why exactly did he do that? Because they just say like, it's a little uncomfortable if we don't breathe. That's it. Because we can't smell. You know, the breathing helps.
But
the
your
smell.
Breath doesn't need to. It's not like your heart is beating faster. So
no, exactly.
Up. That's like what causes that, and that doesn't happen because you don't have a beating heart.
Yeah. So yeah.
Sulu.
So true. The Volturi paused because they're not sure how to proceed. They're sort of analyzing everyone and choosing key targets.
They're irritated by the Romanians, which
that's
is great.
That's so funny. I love that they see them and they're like, oh, fuck those guys.
What the fuck are they doing here?
Who the fuck do you think they are?
We got rid of those guys. Yeah. Step the fuck up, Kyle. Step the fuck up, Stefan.
They also don't know certain faces, so that worries them. Like, they don't know the Amazonian women, so they're like, we didn't come prepared for not knowing what everyone can do, so that's
right, exactly. They sort of, their level of control is that they quote-unquote know all of their vampires, yep, who are under their domain, and they can therefore control them and have access to like what their powers are. So having variables that they don't understand is definitely a big, even just like a mental shake for them.
Which is enough for Carlyle to step forward and be like, Aro, my friend, it's been centuries. And Aro's like, you know, you say that, but you're the one with the army come here to attack us. So what's up with that?
And Carlyle's like, bitch, I literally live here. Why are you bringing your bitches in here?
And Aro's like, you broke our fucking law. Are you just going to pretend that didn't happen? Like, what's going on here, bro? Yeah. And he's like, I didn't break a law. He's like, so what if your guys did?
He says, I have not committed the crime you are here to punish me for. Yeah. Bitch.
Bitch.
He says bitch at the end, by the way. Also, in this moment, they're both wearing 6-inch acrylics.
Oh my God, they are. And they're like, you know the pose? They're like,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Just so you all know, that is what's happening. Canonically.
Yeah, and then Caius gets really irritated by this. And he's like, we see the kid. Clearly, this army is about protecting your illegal child. Why else would you have assembled it? And Carlyle's like, my guy, she has blood in her cheeks. She's not immortal. She's literally not a vampire. And then they call Irina forward. Yeah. And Caius just slaps her across the face.
Just slaps the shit out of her.
That is,
which is fucking
so
insane.
Crazy. I know, like, of all the things that happen, it's just like her getting fucking bitch slapped.
Yeah,
by Caius,
man with acrylics.
By Caius, not even like Big Daddy Aro.
Right, well, that's the thing, is that Aro is like the one who is above that, quote unquote. Yeah. I mean, or like, you know what? I bet Aro would be like, Aro is like the one who think he would use more quote unquote sophisticated type of pain, yes, like using Jane.
Yes, he does use Jane.
Whereas Caius is like seen as like uncontrollable or like baser.
Because he uses like physical
evil
means.
Because he uses physical pain. Yeah. Anyway, just needed to let. But it's fucking, we're like kind of laughing about it, but it's actually insane that he just like slaps the shit out of this woman who's their informer.
As, Bella like points out in her narration, it doesn't even hurt to be slapped like that. It's just like degrading. Like it's like watching someone kick a dog. You're just like, oh God, why?
Yeah. And it's also like he's mad at her as well because he's mad at her because she's not stepping up soon enough. And then he gets mad at her again because she's like
stuttering.
Well, this kid looks different from before. Yeah. And she's clearly confused. He's like, you're not giving me the exact answer I want, so I'm going to hurt you physically, which is crazy. Yep,
it is.
Aro steps in and is like, let's not do this.
Literally, I have the power of reading every single thought she's ever had at the touch of a hand. So can we just calm for 1 second? Let me see. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's, the child does look different from when she's seeing it now. Yep, mm-hmm, confirmed.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Then he wants to hear the story from his sweet little Eddie boy, and he's like, oh, Edward, come here, darling.
Oh, Pookie.
Literally. Come here. Psst, 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 psst.
Also how I would treat Edward. Come here. He's a good boy.
You shake a little bag of treats at him. The bag of treats is blood.
Yeah, Bella's blood. Yeah. Like little popsicles.
Why?
Lollipops, if you
will. I just had such a, I'm like, Bella doesn't have have blood anymore, so unfortunately we can't offer that. What if, and why didn't they harvest some of Bella's blood like earlier on while she was still human, just to be like, here's a little taste, a little treat for you, once it won't be a temptation anymore. Like, here's like a little candy when you're having a bad day.
So true. Why didn't they try to get him accustomed to the taste of her blood so we could turn her into a vampire more easily?
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be so feral for it, because he got little bits of it before. Yeah,
things we wonder.
Things we wonder. Maybe that would have gone backwards, but then that would have been such a fun scene.
It so would have.
You know what? This book series, I have feelings about
it's
it.
It's the way.
I've been doing this podcast for 4 years. At
every turn.
Of course I have feelings about
it's
it.
It's the way at every turn but something like, more interesting could have happened.
Right. Oh my God, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's like, oh my God, why did Jasper have to go after her? Why couldn't it be Edward having a moment of weakness? Like, I think that's so much more interesting.
And the pain and like depression
there are,
and he there has.
Are books that I've read that I've suggested to you that you need to read where there are vampires in them.
Yeah.
Like, go feral over blood and they're not themselves. And it's great. It's great reading.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why doesn't this happen in this stupid book?
Yeah. Nothing.
And like those books that I'm talking about before, they aren't even really great books. It's just like the bar is
so low
and Stephanie Meyer still manages to limbo under
it. She digs a hole.
Defying all laws of physics.
She digs a hole to go under the bar.
The floor. She digs a tunnel. She does a fucking rabbit hole and goes under it. It's insane.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it could be done, but she proves us wrong every day.
She manages it every day. It's wild.
Anyway.
That's my rant over. We can go back to this. But every time I think about how a more interesting thing could have happened, that's like the perfect way to describe it. It's like the most boring option happens, and it's just like, let's do 3 chapters about school. It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, rant done.
Okay.
They're still having this fucking stupid conversation about Renesmee.
Yeah, Edward goes across the field, but Bella gets so red hot fury explosion that she shoots her power out.
She main characters.
Yeah, she main characters and shoots her shield power out all the way across the field to reach Edward. And it's like 10 times the best distance she'd ever done before. So she's like, I've unlocked my full power. And
right, it's like, I get it, she's fueled by anger, we knew this, and then she like unlocks a level because it's a more extreme anger and like a more extreme fear. I get it. I think it's way
it's
too
so
easy
convenient.
Again, why couldn't something more interesting have happened?
She doesn't struggle with bloodlust, she doesn't struggle with control of her emotions. She then finds out she has a superpower and at the final hour makes it work perfectly. Like, where's the struggle?
Exactly. And I wouldn't even mind if she makes it work if there was a better like training lead up.
Yeah, no.
It's like maybe 2 weeks of being like, okay, I'll try. Like, that's not how it works. And like, a lot of main characters have main character syndrome where they learn their thing perfectly at the exact right time.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't necessarily see that as like something I will actively hate, because there's lots of times when that happens and I can excuse it a lot of the time. This is like the worst version of it because there's like no lead up training that feels real to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, we're trying.
Yeah.
They have one scene. It's all within the span of 2 weeks. Like, even if they don't have a bunch of training scenes in the book, like, can you have it span over longer?
Right.
Or can you, I don't know, like, have it not go exactly perfectly in this moment? Have something go wrong with it. I mean, of course, we still have time to see if her shield falters at a incredible time or something like that. But still, it's really annoying that it seems to happen perfectly at the perfect time with after, like, 2 weeks after finding out it even exists. It's just fucking frustrating. Anyway.
Yeah. So then Edward and Aro, you know, mind-to-mind communicate for, like, a while. And then after a long exchange, Aro's just like, oh my god, it's, like, new history unlocked right before our eyes. This is so exciting. I would love to meet your sweet baby girl. This is the best thing ever. And
all of our hackles are
raised. And Tyus is like, the fuck, bro? What game are we playing here?
The switch up is crazy, bro.
Right. But then the way that Aro says, and I'm glad that Bella points it out too in her own monologue, take a moment to ponder, for the justice we intended to deliver no longer applies. which falls back to the same right. plan that Edward commented on at the beginning, which is if the charges don't apply, they're going to still find something to take offense at. So he's like, I'm going to go meet this baby, and Caius. Use your big, big brain and work on something new.
It's so I know. He's just like, he's like the underlying implication is have a fucking thought for once, Caius. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, shut the fuck up. Keep it cool in front of our friends and think for once. Yeah, thank please you.
Shut the fuck up and use your little pea brain to think of a new plan while I distract
Rub
everyone.
Your brain cells together. Right, exactly. Oh my God. Well, I distract everyone by analyzing my newest
conquest.
Collector's right. item. Yeah.
It's clearly like, it's so like obvious, like, let me just distract them and be all friendly and be like, woohoo, look at your cool baby. She's so awesome. And
And it's also, I mean, he also is very interested in her, as we see.
He loves power. Coming he loves up, new like, abilities. This is mm-hmm. new and exciting.
And I don't know, did we mention this where we were like, if he has Renesmee, he has access to the wolves? I don't remember if we brought this up, but he sort of makes that conclusion in his head. And Edward's like, it's not going to work. Yeah. That's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But
yeah.
It did make, that was interesting to me.
It's
anyway.
True. Yeah, so they all walk back to meet in the middle, and they bring their little bodyguards with them. So Aro takes...
It's so silly.
What's his name? Dimitri and Felix, and then Bella picks Jacob and Emmett, and Emmett's like, fuck yeah, bro, fuck yeah.
Oh, God. I want to smash heads together.
And there's such a funny... period of like exchanging niceties. Like Felix is like, wow, immortality really suits you, Bella. It's just too bad. And she's like, yeah, too bad that you're gonna try and kill us. It is too bad. Yeah. And he just like winks at her.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Felix says that. Oh, it's so great. I love it when like a creepy side character gets a good creepy moment where he's like, oh, it looks good on you. Too bad. And he just trails off as he, like, smiles at her terrifyingly. Yeah. And she's like, yep, you're going to eat my bones.
Yeah. Well, it's just too bad.
C'est la vie.
Qu'est la vie.
Cool of you.
And then Aro really does the same thing. He's like, wow, Bella, immortality suits you. It's like you were born for this. And he notices that she's wearing his wedding gift. And she's like, yeah, like... I really wanted to wear it. It's you know, quite a lot. What a generous gift. And he's like, oh, that thing. I just had it lying around. And Jane, like, hisses at the back.
I know. Jane has never once gotten a pretty literally little necklace never. From Aro.
She's like, I have to be the little drummer boy, and you can't give me a diamond necklace? Hello?
Why do you keep dressing up as the drummer boy? I want to wear a pretty dress with a pretty necklace. Oh, my God. Poor Jane.
Oh, poor Jane. Jane apologists. She didn't do anything wrong.
Actually true. I am a Jane apologist. She's perfect.
She's just really angry My because little drummer of boy. The mistreatment by her patriarchal overlords. And, you know, that comes out in really unfortunate ways, but she could be saved.
Right. Right.
From herself.
Well, how old is she? Was she when she was turned approximately? She's like a young teenager,
I think she's
right?
Like 13.
Yeah. Yeah. 13-year-olds, similar to the way that the immortal children are unstoppable because they cannot comprehend.
A 13-year-old is also fucking volatile.
Constantly having... Yeah, I mean, we talk about even with Edward having mood swings because he's 17. Right. Like, imagine a fucking 13-year-old. Of course, Jane's...
What a nightmare.
Just pissed
you
all the
time. You have an eternal 13-year-old.
What a nightmare. Imagine, oh my God, imagine you're that parent. Oh. Eternal 13-year-old.
Jesus Christ.
I'd actually kill myself. I would go expose myself in Volterra.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's Renesmee. Renesmee touches Aro's face instead of him holding out his hands for her. And clearly she asks him like not to hurt her family. And he smiles and he's like, brilliant. And we have no desire to hurt your loved ones. But Maggie's like back at the back. The little truth and lie detector hisses. So.
Yeah. Clearly it's a lie. Edward also sort of.
She's fully being that YouTuber lie detector guy that's in every lie detector test.
Oh my God, stop.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. That's the truth.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, what is it, the recent one? It's like Jay Schlatt did one. God. That's the one I think I saw him so in most funny. Recently.
He's everywhere.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I like that guy. I like that we know this exact guy. He's like kind of balding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
So he suddenly eyes the wolves, which is what you talked about earlier, because whatever Renesmee showed him, and Edward's like, no, they don't belong to us. They're just here because they want to be. But he's like, but what if I could have guard dogs, bro? What if I had a puppy on a leash, bro?
And the wolves really, really hate
Yeah, they
that.
All start barking and howling and growling. And Sam is and like, Edward's shut the fuck up.
Like, it doesn't. Edward's like, it won't work. But I do like, I see Aro's vision. I see the vision. I'm in it with you.
If they're all dedicated to protecting Renesmee, he could use Renesmee to force them all to serve him.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I get it. The line of the connecting the dots, it's all there.
Yeah. And even if, like, he has to take down a few werewolves on the way, he can at least have Jacob and Jacob's followers, you know? Because they have to follow Jacob.
He would for sure get Jacob, Seth, and Leah. Like, done deal.
Yeah. Done deal, baby. Yeah. Where is Leah? I miss her. I haven't heard from her in forever. Know. She's sulking somewhere. I miss her.
She's licking her little dog ass.
Probably. Her das.
That's so stupid.
I cannot believe you laughed at
I was that. So surprised that you said it that I had to laugh. I couldn't believe it.
I said it like knowing that like M's gonna laugh at this because it's so stupid.
Got him in one.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, all the dogs start being like, wah, 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 wah. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
They do it like the Blues. That was like the Blues Clues dog.
Thank
noise.
You.
And they go into a painting. Yeah.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter.
Wonder who it's from. I had a Blues Clues themed birthday party when I was 6.
Shut the fuck up. I wish I was you. I had a fairy themed birthday party when I was
so
little.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I turned out gay. How'd that happen?
My mom
predicted got, early.
Like, Blues Clues paw stickers, and then she made like mysteries, and people had to go around the house to find where the paw stickers were for clues that related to the mysteries. Yeah.
See, it's stuff like that that makes me be like, oh, I would love to be a parent to do that for my kid. And then I'm like, what if I could just like be an event planner?
What if you could just be a cool aunt who's like, okay, this is my cool niece
we're
or
having
nephews.
The birthday party at my house. And I'm going to dress it all up for
you.
And then
you can say goodbye once it's over.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye, children.
Go piss and shit somewhere else. Smile.
So, yeah. Basically, we end this chapter with Aro being like, we have much to discuss. Let me confer with my brothers. I'll leave you with your furry protector. And I was like, furry protector? We're protecting furries now? Furries have rights?
Yeah. Guys. We've been doing this podcast for long enough. We went from hating furries to me being a furry to now we're protecting furries. So to all of our furry listeners, you fucking won this
one.
We're one episode from the end of the books. You've beat us.
Did it.
We're protecting you now. Sorry.
All right. That's the end.
Yeah. They're going to go think about it and think. Like, it's just so weird. It feels so
There's
awkward.
So much...
to have them go
talking.
Back in
I
their
know.
Like little football
yeah
huddle.
Literally like I'm this is a football field in my head and they're going to have a huddle
and they're all gonna have their arms over
yeah,
their shoulders and they're gonna
no,
go do the
literally what we didn't say was
like you know when they like move together
like, when Aro was walking back across the field with Edward he put his arm around Edward like they were buddies
oh my god. It's like Pookie,
my little boy toy,
my little Eddie boy.
Yeah. Okay,
you love to see it.
Do we have a question for this episode?
Man, if you could have one furry protector,
yeah, who's your furry protector?
Actually, that's like, you know what? I'm gonna say if you could have a furry protector, what would it be? And I will not elaborate.
Okay,
it can be a furry.
Yeah.
It can be. A dog of some sort. It can be something that is protecting furries. Yeah. Interpret this however you'd like. I don't know. Is there any better question? I like the idea of forcing my listeners to have to think about furries for an extended period of time. I would choose the polar bear from Golden Compass. What's his face?
What the fuck? How are you in my fucking brain? The whole time. The whole time I've been sitting here like, Golden Compass reference. And I was picturing him.
Were you about to say that? Oh my God. What's his name? Why are we the same person? Hold on. Yeah. Two bitches with mechanical keyboards typing.
It's Lorik?
Yorick.
Yes, Yorick. Yes.
Yeah. Yorick. I cannot believe we both thought Yorick. Listen, that's insane.
Here's the connecting the dots. You said furry, and I said, in my brain, I went, oh, like my little furry friend Fergus. And I was like, Fergus would be a bad protector. He's too scared. And then I went, oh, I love in the Golden Compass how everyone has their little demons. Like, those are so cute. And then I went, oh, but you know who's the best protector is the fucking polar bear. That was it.
I didn't connect any dots. I just thought about it. And the first thing that sprung to mind was the polar bear from the Golden Compass. I love
him is the thing.
Why are we the same person? Guys. You heard it here first. That's actually scary. I'm going to get out of my brain.
Without
freak.
Any prior mentioning of Golden Compass at all, this entire episode.
Correct. No mention of polar bears. We've mentioned the snow once. Like no it was mention fully, of anything I thought, to do with that.
Oh, I wish everyone had like their own little demon. I love that concept. But the polar bear is the protector. That was it. He's an armored bear.
I didn't even think that much. I thought that question and the first thing that I thought of was the
armored polar bear. You're so valid for that.
Thank you. We are the same person. The next chapter is called Contrivances.
Yep. Sure is.
She's pulling out all the like high syllable words.
I have a lot of answers from last episode. I'm going to go for the top 10. Because there's a lot.
Okay. Right. What were the questions?
If
what
you
the
were stuck
again? I forget.
With only one album to listen to, what would it be?
Oh, yeah. And we had good answers. Ours were good. Yeah. You had Absolution and I had Songs About Jane, I think. Did I not? I don't even know if I gave an answer.
I don't
know.
I thought you had to think about that.
I think I did. One of the ones I was thinking about was Songs About Jane, which is the first Maroon 5 album, which actually fucking slaps.
Right.
I don't know if I would actually choose that though. I actually would probably have a lot of trouble deciding that. That's like my go-to answer, but it's probably not actually true if I think about it more.
All right.
Anyway, let's hear y'all's answers.
Okay, from Max. Anything by Chappelle Roan. I love her so much. Sobbing.
True.
From Batman for President. City of Evil by Avenged Sevenfold. Sick.
I don't even, what is that?
Avenged Sevenfold is, what kind of rock?
I'm looking at them.
Yeah, heavy metal. That's what I thought. I'm like, there's some
modern hard rock.
Modern hard rock. Ooh. Metal. You know, sick. The vibes.
Yeah, I like the vibes.
From Eleanor, Hatful of Hollow by the Smiths, or NFR by Lana, or Swan Lake. Or Faith in the Future by Louis Tomlinson.
Swan Lake is such a fucking good book. That's the thing is that I don't want to give like, I like don't want to say like a modern thing. Cause I feel like I could go like, bring me like a Marriage of Figaro. You know what I mean? Like something like that has like spans all of like the known emotions of mankind. Fucking slaps. And as like really cool orchestration and like impressive music. That's why I feel like I can never pick like a modern album seriously.
Jesus Christ.
Like
superstar.
That's a good pull. Oh my God. that's
yeah,
a good
it is,
option.
Actually.
It is a really good option. Not enough women in that though.
True.
Need more women. There are some really amazing male vocals, but there is like one song by women.
Good song though.
Really,
fucking
really good
amazing
song.
The performer who played her, I just saw Jesus Christ Superstar last night, everyone. It was so good. She was so incredible. I fell in love with her, actually.
That's amazing.
I was in love with her. And I was in love with Jesus, and I was in love with Judas. And I was like, can I get in on this thruple?
Yeah. make it four, baby.
Let's just make it four. Oh, you two of them died? Oh, so she's just left for me now? Oh, how convenient.
Oh my god, yay. How convenient. Girl time.
Yeah. All right.
I like these answers because even though I don't necessarily know the albums, I like to know what our listeners listen to. Like
right, that's why I like, there's like so many good answers here. From Tambourine, I've been falling apart the last few days, so I'd probably bring Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. There's something cathartic about putting on eyeliner and crying while listening to MCR as an adult. Ugh, you get it. That's
absolutely,
that's a vibe and a half.
There's something in my brain about like turning on the Roslyn slowed and reverbed version at like 3 a.m. and just playing that really loud and just crying in my eyeliner. That's not the same thing, but you know the vibe. Something about just playing music and crying.
Yeah, I think everyone's got to do it. From Nikita, maybe some kind of Studio Ghibli compilation album. Hisashi is such a good composer, and there's a nice mix of easy listening and more emotional stuff.
True. As long as The Boy Who Swallowed a Star is on it, then I'm happy. Banging songs.
From Emily McDonald, the car is the first gen MX-5, aka Miata. By the way, everyone was very keen on telling us it was a Miata, the car that blinks.
Okay. Yes, everyone. Okay, thank you so much, because we're both fucking stupid. Like it's a Miata.
Multiple people in our Discord were like, it's a Miata.
Yes, they did also say that. And we were like, thank you, we're idiots. Thank you.
So Emily McDonald also says, album 100% has to be The Wiggles' greatest hits. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Wrap it up, folks.
We're done here.
We're packing up. We're done with this fucking podcast. Put this Emily on the mic.
Fruit salad slaps so hard.
Actually, can we get like a bass boosted remix fruit salad?
I am not a Wiggles kid. That in the clubs. It does not mean anything to me, but sure.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Yeah, I could get down with it.
Okay, from Doty, your podcast from episode one until you finish covering all of Twilight.
That's like such a horrifying time capsule.
And then we get a 180 to or 1989 Taylor's version. Boo.
You're such a fucking traitor. You're a traitor and a whore.
Or
I'm sorry.
And we're back to a different realm. Okay.
All right.
The soundtrack to Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a banger of a soundtrack, is the problem.
Actually, it's really, really fair. Good. You know, you lost me in the middle, but I've been brought back. I'm sorry for calling you a whore. I apologize. I really agree with your Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack take. Because that's like, how do you get like some bangers from the 80s without having to... Yeah,
it's putting...
They're from the 80s, right? 80s. Without having to pick one album and isolate it.
The last mention is... Honorable mention to Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. We've come full circle. We're back to a good take.
Yeah, we're back to good takes. You guys shock and upset me and surprise and delight
this
me.
This is such a choice. Hope E. Cox says Coldplay X and Y. Coldplay X and Y?
Coldplay X and... Wait, hold up.
Let's just...
Which one's X and Y?
It is from 2005. Yeah, it was their third album. Is it
their really good
one?
It's
not their best one, but like it's got good one. It's got Fix You on it. Oh my. Fix You's a great band.
This is a crazy take. I would take A Rush of Blood to the Head over this. I would take Parachutes over this, and I would take Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends over this. Crazy choice, but like I respect you
the
going
pull
for...
because I feel like this is the way that I went for Absolution by Muse, which is like no one's goat album for them. Like it's usually
but it is like it spans the most
right of it's usually like Black Holes and Revelations is like the pull, and I'm like no,
it's a good choice Absolution.
So like I get this.
You can't pick a bad Muse album, so like I get where you're coming from with your Coldplay choice. Oh, it has, I see the vision. It has Till Kingdom Come on it as well. Yeah.
You know what? I respect the poll.
I do respect it. I can't agree with it, but I do respect it. Oh my God. Okay,
from Kate, who is not my sister. Hello again, lovelies. Okay. First of all, you two have been a blast to listen to all these years. You keep me young and teach me what's hip. Oh, God. Me?
Oh, no. me. All right. That was directed at me.
Because you're keeping me young. Like, you're doing this for all of us.
But I'm getting there. Not getting there as in I'm old, but I'm, like, getting to the point where I'm, like, out of, like, what the kids are doing nowadays.
When you start hitting above the 25, you're not going to know what the 18-year-olds are doing anymore.
Dude, it's only because I'm incredibly online that I'm, like, sort of aware of the fucking skibbity yacht bullshit. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Kate's answer is Jagged Little Pill.
Good choice. You guys are all emo.
Yeah.
You guys are all sad boy emos and also Swifties. Yeah. I'm assuming there are a lot of people who put Swiftie answers in there that you haven't pulled
No.
up?
No. None. What? Only that you one mentioned in 1989. Fake.
Okay, maybe the Swifties knew that we would.
Okay, just so here's Meg Harris, known Swiftie. One time I went to summer camp, I'm age scared. 13, and brought my Walkman and a single Phil Collins CD. So maybe that. Or.
Wow, Phil Collins is a great. That's a great choice. Or
the Spice Girls' Greatest Hits. I respect it.
Wow, that's also. You know what? You know what? Meg was a Spice Girls before girly. Yeah. Before a,
she's an
before
OG.
A Taylor
she's an
girly.
OG.
So I can really fucking respect that.
Spice Girls' Greatest Hits. I honestly, appreciate bop that after a lot. Bop.
Actually, fair.
The final one I'll read.
You know, okay.
From Angelina Pulis, Muse's "Will of the People" was my first instinct, which I listened to because of you guys.
Oh my God. Yay!
I love that.
Oh, you make me so happy. Oh, more people listen to Muse, please.
Honestly, everyone's getting a good grade in answering Spotify questions today.
Yeah, actually true. I feel like a lot of people who have, and I feel like a lot of our listeners who have sort of mentioned like MCR and like all these sort of things, like you would also probably like Muse. It is great.
Yeah.
You should listen.
Or Billie Eilish's Happier Than Ever. Sure, great.
Oh.
Or Aurora's All My Demons Greeting Me as a Friend. I can't choose just one.
Mm.
I don't know who Aurora is. Like the princess?
Bitch. You know, okay, you want to hear this fucking deep poll that I would like. This is like kind of a joke thing, but I also think it would be a great one. Is if I was like, what if my pick was the Jack Johnson album from Curious George?
What the fuck? Okay.
People are going to know what I'm talking about. It has Upside Down on it. It has, what does it have? It has Banana Pancakes on it, I think.
Honestly, Slay.
Maybe it doesn't. But anyway, either way, that album is great. Curious George movie, somehow really, really good. I don't think the movie's good. It's the Jack Johnson album. That's really good.
Cool.
It's very nostalgic. I feel like that would spark joy in my heart. If any of you guys know what I'm talking about, just hit me up. Don't talk to Emily. She's a hater.
Born and bred.
Yep. First and foremost, I hate her.
All right.
Well, those were... Sorry we couldn't get to all of them this time.
You guys just answer a lot, and we love that. If you answer sooner, we'll read them. That's really it.
Yeah.
We went in chronological order.
Yep. but we see and appreciate all of them. And it's fun to know that you guys are out there. Because for so long in this podcast, we've been like, I'm talking to primarily probably three people. And their names are Meg, Nikita, and I don't know who's the third person. Steve.
Yeah, that's it.
Probably Emily, editor. Like, that's it.
The person that we subject all our insane ramblings to. Emily, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for editing out my weird comments.
All right, we have some new vampires to welcome to the coven. Okay, shout out Emily McDonald. Hello, you just answered.
Hi, we love you.
And also, Eddie's ice peepee.
Okay. This is the, like, you know, high highs and low lows I have with this
epic
podcast.
Highs and epic lows, yeah.
Yeah, of high school football. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eddie's Ice Pee-Pee. Welcome. Man. To
thank you so much for joining Edward's Ice Penis.
No, it's Pee-Pee. It is just Pee-Pee. Don't get it twisted.
Pee-Pee.
The letter P twice.
I would not like to twist an ice penis, thank you.
No, no. Just ride it.
Ugh, God. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for joining the coven. We're biting you consensually on the neck, both of us.
Yes.
And you join the ranks of our other master vampires, Dan, Thea, Emily, Steven, Casty, and Chandler. Thank you all so much for supporting us.
Thank you. We love you guys. You. Let me out of this podcast now. I need to go lie down. Bye. Thanks for listening to Unbitten. If you want to get in contact with us,
follow us on Twitter at UnbittenPod or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/UnbittenPod. And for now, the rest is still unbitten.